Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Set your future in motion at Chicago State University with over 70 degree and certificate programs, ample scholarship opportunities, and vibrant campus life. Chicago State University is Chicago's number one most affordable public university, with a diverse faculty, small class sizes, and almost 50 student organizations, including NCAA Division I athletics. At Chicago State, we provide you with the tools you need to succeed. Visit csu.edu/admissions to learn how you can earn your freshman year tuition free.
What is going on, Bellyup Sports fam? It's your favorite history teacher, Mr. Parker Ainsworth, here at another edition of FN Sports, the podcast where teachers grade sports biggest issues. And today, we got our buddy K-Dot coming up to give you some spark notes to help preview the WNBA playoffs. K-Dot is very well respected in women's basketball Twitter, and he's going to help us break down exactly what to expect and what could be coming with the new format, all the seeds, and everything going on in the WNBA playoffs. So without further ado, let's get started. And we are joined by the WNBA Twitter famous K-Dot. K-Dot, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm so happy to be back on the pod, I'm excited to talk about, the WNBA playoffs and what scenarios we have going on. And I mean, let's get it started.
Let's get it going. This is our playoff preview for the WNBA playoffs. In the teacher vein, we're going to give you a quick spark notes cap shot of the teams that made it in. 8 teams in this year. We're going to talk a little bit about the different format first, though, K-Dot, because we were talking about that in pre-pod. Can you explain to the people at home, what is the format going to look like if they've been watching the WNBA playoffs for a while? It is going to look different.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year it's much different from the former format. I believe they were doing this format prior for about 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. I would need to fact check that. But this year is not a single elimination first round, and the top two seeds do not have a bye at this point. All teams will be playing in the first round. The rounds go 3-5-5. When I mean 3-5-5, that means first round, 3-game series, semifinal, the 5-game series, and then the finals, a 5-game series. So at this point, the WNBA has expanded their playoff format where everybody gets a chance to have a series, and the top seed will be home for the first 2 games. If there's a chance that the lowest seed splits the home games, then they will get an opportunity for a winner take all at the lower seed home game in game 3. So it's going to be really, really, really exciting to see what teams who starts off on the road are able to actually get a road win and be able to advance in that game 3 if they were to force a game 3.
Well, so I think that's my question. I hinted before we started that I had a question about this, because intuitively that actually sounds like the road teams could almost argue they have an advantage in that, like, obviously lower seed, you're gonna have to win a game anyway, but, and I'm assuming for travel reasons, right? They're going to go two games in the in the better seed's place and then the last game. But if you manage to pinch one of those first two games off, you can close it out at home. Does that feel like a big advantage, or am I making that up?
No, you're not making it up. And for certain teams, especially this year, it could happen. I feel like that is somewhat of an advantage. I do believe that you do have some road teams, more importantly, that 4-5 matchup, if you will, that fifth seed can actually steal a game on the fourth seed's floor. That could be possible. There are rumors that there is a potential sixth seed, which we'll talk about, who could upset a 3 seed this year. We've been talking about it all like the last maybe 2 weeks of the WNBA season, as far as like which top seed you see is the most vulnerable, if you will. So yes, it does seem like a major advantage. Game one is always the important game, and especially in this format, when you have the 3-game series, because, you know, you can easily, as the road team, come in and take that home court advantage in game one, because we know that in game two, the home team has to win. So I do believe that it's somewhat of a road team's advantage, but also we have to look at kind of like the circumstances of the WNBA and how travel has been the past, you know, especially with the CBA and everything, and how travel has been. So the biggest thing, you know, for the home team is they have 2 games at home. You know what to do in game one, and you know, hopefully in game two you can basically sweep. But you know, it's going to be exciting, you know, regardless, because I mean, again, when you're looking at these teams and when we get into the details of the seedings, you'll make a judgment for yourself on who you think could possibly upset, you know, the top seed.
Well, definitely. And so we're going to start off, and we're just going to go matchup by matchup as they lay out in the first round. And get, again, a quick spark notes cap shot of each team. We open with the Aces. If I'm reading the seeding of this right, the Aces are playing the Mercury in a 3-game series. The Aces have had a much more uplifting season than Mercury. So let's start with them. New coach this year, obviously MVP level. I don't know if she'll win the award, but MVP level Asia Wilson is the headliner. Give us more on the Aces.
Yeah. So the Aces, of course, started off real, real hot at 13-2. Coach Becky Hammon, who's taken over the reins from Bill Laimbeer, who had done an amazing job, you know, prior to just, you know, she's more vibrant, a little more head savvy from a not more of a traditional type coach. She's allowed this team to actually run some high powered offense, and they ranked, you know, top 3 in offensive rating. They're actually top. They're right out of the top 5 in defensive rating. That was one of the big concerns for this Aces team. And again, the bench was also a concern for this Aces team, because after they went 3-2, they went a little stretch where they were playing 500 ball. And, you know, after the All-Star break, you know, they got, they got things together and ended up winning the Commissioner's Cup. And basically after the Commissioner's Cup, you know, they've continued to do very well. And one thing that sparked, a bigger spark, if you will, for the Aces was the decision for Coach Becky Hammon to bring De'Erica Hamby, who's been who is a former 2-time Sixth Woman of the Year, who's used to playing off the bench, and who had been starting this year. She decided to put her back on the bench, not necessarily from a demotion standpoint, but more of a sprucing up the bench standpoint. And Kia Stokes, she's come in and she's done a tremendous job as a starter, as the starting center for the Aces, giving Asia Wilson the full autonomy to go back to playing the power forward position when she was previously previously playing the center position, which she had done a great job. And yes, she is, in my opinion, this year's league MVP, and she can arguably be the league's defensive player of the year as well. So she could definitely get both of those awards. And I think that for the Aces, they've found just new footing, new ground. They've beaten the Seattle Storm today, which with that win makes them in sole possession of number one, win or lose, from the Chicago Sky, who had been hot all season long. But because they've won the season series against the Chicago Sky, they own the tiebreaker for number one. So hence the reason why they're number one playing the Phoenix Mercury. So the Aces have done a really, really good job this year, and I can't wait to see what they do in the playoffs coming up.
Well, and, you know, for NBA fans, the Derek Hamby thing is kind of like the Spurs not starting Ginobili or right. whatever. Like it's a great team that it's like, hey, we need your role to be this. I think exactly the way you're talking about Asia going to slide back to the power forward spot and then like spotting as the center was really a big thing for them. I was going to say down the stretch of the season, and I guess that's around Commissioner Cup and after time, which it lines up with what you're saying. A team that's had a much rougher year has been the Phoenix Mercury. Now, this is obviously a very pro Brittany Griner protest or a podcast, I should say, bring Brittany Griner home. But as we look at them, that's not the only thing that went wrong on the floor for them. Skylar Diggins, to her credit, Skylar Diggins Smith played out of her mind all season. If winning was not a part of the MVP award, you could maybe throw her name in for some votes. But you had like the Diana Taurasi injury. The offense looked stagnant at times throughout the season. So talk to me. How did the Phoenix Mercury manage to find their way into the eighth place this year?
Perseverance is the key word here, because when we look at the beginning of the season prior to the Brittany Griner situation, and yes, please bring Brittany Griner home. Tina Charles' decision to sign with Phoenix was a no-brainer, I want to win now decision, and adding her to a all-star cast of Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, and Skylar Diggins-Smith would have been monumental for that franchise. And unfortunately, it did not work out that way, where the dominoes fell with the whole Brittany Griner situation. And they've had to endure that all year. Even Skylar Diggins-Smith herself came out and just talked about how traumatic it could be every time a question was asked about the whole situation. And it put it took a big toll for the team, because there were chemistry issues. There were a lot of things, you know, with Vanessa Nygaard being the new coach. Very questionable play calling at times. Offenses, just like you said, were stagnant. Defense wasn't 100% top tier. And there was just a lot of things that went on. And then to make matters worse, Tina Charles ends up asking for a contract divorce, leaving the team and signing with the Seattle Storm. And that's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. But we're still talking about the Phoenix Mercury at the eighth seed. And again, perseverance. Shea Petty, who has been incredible all season long, has stepped up. Sophie Cunningham, who will be in talks for most improved player of the year this year, has stepped up for sure. And the free agent via trade, Diamond DeShields, she has stepped up a lot. And a lot of things, when we're talking about kind of like the mental aspect of the game, I want to wish Skylar Diggins-Smith, you know, health and prosperity as she goes through what she's going through right now, because she's not with the team. And also with Diana Taurasi and the speedy recovery for her quad, just knowing what was at stake, Shea Petty, Sophie Cunningham, and Skylar Diggins, Diamond DeShields, they knew what it took to actually get that team into the playoffs, and it actually happened. So you can't do anything but tilt your hat off to this team as they persevered and they've made their way into the playoffs. And it's an incredible thing to see.
Definitely. And I think the DeShields acquisition, if they'd had everyone there and healthy, would have been like, And she's the final piece of this big, you know, monstrosity of all these all-stars. DeShields was an all-star in 2019 in Chicago. Right. She was a champion in 2021 in Chicago. And those Chicago Sky sit in second place. In transitioning as seamlessly as I can try to, talk to me about the Chicago Sky. Again, last year's champ, this year in second place. You could talk about Copper or Gardner or Messaman, but the story here seems to me to be Candace Parker, right?
Absolutely. And one thing that you can describe the Chicago Sky is versatility and depth. And one thing about the Chicago Sky is they've been consistent all year, even with star players being out of the lineup throughout the year. Candace Parker missed some time. Courtney Vandersloot missed some time. Kalia Copper missed the first couple games because of overseas obligations and getting acclimated. One person or one player that I would like to tilt my hat off to is Emma Mieseman. And she came in, you know, knowing that she had obligations the past 2 years with her, I believe it's Belgium, and her national team. You know, she's come in via trade from the Mystics, and she's just a bright light for Chicago in defending that championship. And they had been number one for quite a while after the Aces kind of faltered and started playing 500 ball. And they had been the most consistent since then. But I think when it came to that Commissioner's Cup game and the Aces figuring out how well they can defend versus the Chicago Sky, I think it was one of those situations where, oh, wow, we finally figured out the blueprint. But here's the thing about Chicago. Again, we talk about depth. Azaree Stevens has been, I mean, the biggest help for the Chicago Sky in spot minutes and taking, you know, Candace Parker's place and Emma Mieseman's place in some realms of the game. And she has been such a bright light and has done a great job in replace of Stephanie Dolson, who is now with the Liberty, in which we'll talk about, and, you know, has done an amazing job. And it's Rebecca Gardner for me, the 31-year-old rookie who's come in defensively, and she's done her job. It's been great to see her, and she's definitely going to get all rookie team honors this year. And a little bit of conversation, a little bit of votes for rookie of the year. I'm pretty sure of it as well, even though the numbers doesn't reflect. But still, if you look at the eye test, she's been an incredible impact for the Chicago Sky. And then, of course, you have the usual suspects, right? You have Kalia Copper, finals MVP of 2021. You have Candace Parker, right, who actually, like you said before, who starts everything off. And then you have Vanderquigs, Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. And the biggest thing that you look at with this team is just the sheer versatility and the cohesiveness that they have with each other. And they are definitely going to be a problem, you know, to mess with. And it's going to be very difficult because Coach James Wade / GM James Wade has been he's been superior in making sure that this team, you know, was doing the right thing. And he's definitely my vote for executive of the year as well.
Well, and you mentioned the depth. They got six players going more than 10 points a game. Rebecca Gardner is at seventh on their roster at 8.5 points per game. Like, they're really well spread out. Azra Stevens is one that, like, she started off in Dallas, and so I got to see her a little bit more up close and personal. I'm glad she's doing so well. They're a really deep, talented roster. Mm-hmm. When I look at the New York Liberty that they're going to play in the first round, much like Chicago has Candace, and that's the name that jumps off the page, the name in New York is much younger, but Sabrina Ionescu obviously is the name that jumps off the page, the one we all know. I mean, we can talk about Marin too. We can talk about Natasha Howard, Nigel Lane, et cetera. But Sabrina is the one that runs the ship there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that Coach Sandy Brondello realizes is that Sabrina is definitely more fitting to play a playmaking two guard as opposed to being the sure point guard. And that decision to bring in Crystal Dangerfield was very, very important for the New York Liberty, because Crystal Dangerfield has come in and taken over the point guard responsibilities and have allowed Sabrina Ionescu to be Sabrina Ionescu. And one thing that hampered the New York Liberty all year long was injuries. You know, Jocelyn Willoughby, she was out for a while and ended up being out of the rotation because of it. Dede Richards did not get her feet up under her because she had suffered a hamstring injury earlier. And then she ended up being out of the rotation as well. And when you look at this roster, not only Stephanie Dolson coming in as a free agent was a key part of this team, but I also think that Hong Xu, who is obviously a Liberty favorite, everyone loves Han. They even call her Harlem Han. She has come in at an astounding 6'10" and has done so many great things for this Liberty bench. And I think with B'Nai Jelani coming back, the cohesiveness is finally there because B'Nai Jelani was out for 8 weeks. She had a knee procedure. And for her to come back, it's been such a delight to see New York do well their last three games because basically they had to go out of the five games that they played. They had to go 3-2 to win. And they actually did that. My biggest concern with the Liberty was inconsistency, and they started off real sluggish. You mean to tell me you lose 14 point loss to a Skylar Diggins and Diana Taurasi less Mercury team starting off on the road? You had a chance to win in Dallas, but in the fourth quarter, Marina Mabry goes off.
Crazy game.
Yeah, real crazy game. And you end up, you know, right in the ship the last three games. You get the much needed win in Dallas, and then you end up taking care of business against the Atlanta Dream. So one thing that I'm looking for the New York Liberty in order to steal a win in Chicago is they have to remain consistent and do what got them in the playoffs in the first place. That's going to be the most important thing.
Definitely. You mentioned the 6'10 Hanju. Marin Yohannes is so much fun to watch, right?
Like, absolutely.
If you are a fan of like Showtime passing the basketball, she's not like Magic Johnson 6'10. She's 5'10. She's a much more slight petite player, but oh my God, can she move the basketball? It is phenomenal to watch. And then Sabrina Ionescu scores at the other end of it. It looks really good.
Absolutely. And Marin Yohannes, she's become one of my favorite players in the WNBA. Her skill level in putting the ball in the basket is just elite. And she had a play today where she came off of a down screen and she caught the ball in rhythm, took one dribble, one leg, three-point shot at the top of the key. I mean, that was just incredible. And one thing about Marin Yohannes as well is she's the spark off of the bench. If the Liberty are down 13, and you put Marin Yohannes in, you're guaranteed for Marin Yohannes to go on an 8-0 run by herself because she can just get so hot in shooting the ball, and her skill level at shooting the ball is just super incredible.
If we keep moving up the playoff seedings here, we have the 3-seed Connecticut Sun playing the 6-seed Dallas Wings. I think in our opening, you kind of previewed that this is one you think could be an upset. Is that the Mabry kind of game we just saw that we mentioned where like she's been really hot as of late? The Dallas Wings won 5 in a row, not quite the last 5 of the season, but 5 in a row towards the end of the season. Is it something weak about Connecticut you're noticing? What about that matchup makes you think there may be an upset?
Yeah, guard play. And everybody knows that in the playoffs, you have to have very strong guards in order to advance. And my biggest concern with Connecticut is their front court is immaculate. Alyssa Thomas, Jonquel Jones, Dawana Bonner. They're great as starters. Breonna Jones, who is going to be the WNBA Sixth Woman of the Year, you can book it. She has also come off the bench and has done a tremendous job. The problem is sometimes there's some inconsistencies offensively and defensively with their guards. More importantly, Natisha Hydeman and Courtney Williams. What I would like to see is I would like to see better effort from a defensive standpoint, because sometimes in certain situations, you know, the defense from a guard standpoint can just be lost sometimes. And I want to see more out of the guards. And it really all starts to me with Natisha Hydeman at the point guard position. Even though she's not the quintessential playmaking point guard, she can actually score the ball. She looks to score. I want to see a little bit more playmaking, more communication as a leader of the floor, a floor general. And maybe you will be able to get, you know, the optimal performance that you would need to get from Natisha Hydeman. And the same thing goes for Courtney Williams. She is a part of what we call the mid-range mafia. She has one of the greatest mid-range shots we've ever seen in this league. But again, when you're talking about defensively, she has plenty of effort, plenty of skill, right? But sometimes communication can be lost, and sometimes she could be a deer in headlights out there. So one thing that Dallas is going to have to do is they've always been consistent in guard play, even though Arike Ogunbowale is going to be out, and I wish her a speedy recovery with her. I think it was a abdominal injury where she got surgery. Marina Mabry, Ty Harris, Veronica Burton, and more importantly, Alicia Gray is going to be very, very pivotal. And it's going to be a case where if those guards are able to do their jobs and win the mismatches and win their actual match, it will be a problem for Connecticut. And they could end up seeing Dallas come in and steal a game at home.
Yeah. And the deal is, I feel like if they steal that game at home, it's like we mentioned, then you have the benefit of getting to play at home. And we just saw them win several big games at home in the last stretch here. I maybe I'm being a homer because they're the Texas team, but I'm in on them. I think that they got a real shot here. The last matchup here, I think, feels like obviously going to be our last matchup for a number of reasons, but the 4-5 is also going to include Sue Bird, Seattle Storm. I know there's a lot of talent on Seattle, but Sue Bird is the headline this year for a number of reasons, including like, with it's the last go, like, can Seattle make another run? And then the Washington Mystics, and I have looked up some stuff about, like, the Washington Mystics, like, have surprising records against really good teams when a handful of people play and whatever. That's going to be interesting when I think we can almost guarantee gets to that third game. Walk us through Seattle versus Washington.
Yeah, so one thing about the Seattle-Washington matchup is going to be probably one of the most watched matchups in the first round. You have a defensive juggernaut in the Washington Mystics who ranks top three in defensive rating. And they're arguably a top team offensively when Elena Deladon plays. So my thing about this matchup particular is what Washington's defense is going to do against Seattle's offense. Seattle has their offense has spruced up a lot the last five or six games. They had been scoring a little over 90 plus points per game, and the ball has moved so well lately. And I know that Coach Pokey Chapman, who is a friend of our network, she's talked about it tremendously and how they run kind of like their motion style offense, where it's more a lot read and react. It's more spread. It dictates what Stewie is able to do off of different down screens, pin downs, and everything like that. And Tina Charles coming in and actually spreading out that offense as well, because she is a threat beyond the arc as well. So my biggest thing is what the Washington defense is going to do versus the Seattle offense. And Washington's defense actually have an opportunity to do something versus that offense, because sometimes when you have someone like a Jewel Loy who struggles from the field, or someone like Sue Bird, who will struggle from the field, the only person that you will have consistently would be Stewie. And you don't want Stewie to get tired. So the biggest thing for Washington is, first off, making sure that Elena Deladon is healthy enough, because this is a cross-country travel for Washington. The good thing is they have two games in Seattle. So that will be, to me, that's an advantage for them, because you're only traveling once, basically, for two games. It's not like you're going 1-1-1 where you're
right.
You know, traveling
to Washington, that does feel like an advantage.
Exactly. So for Washington, what I'm looking for is offense. Sometimes their offense can get real, real stagnant. And one thing that happened today, Natasha Cloud, she did leave the game versus the Fever with a knee injury. So hopefully that's not as serious hopefully it's just not serious at all. So, you know, we'll evaluate that between now and Wednesday. And one thing that I am looking for is Shakira Austin versus the Ezzy McMagor and the Tina Charles matchup. That's one thing that I'm looking for, because she's a rookie. She's done a tremendous job all season long. She's definitely first team all rookie, for sure. But that's going to be a lot for her defensively. And with her being a rookie, first time in the playoffs, we all know it's 0-0 when the playoffs hit. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, it's going to be an amazing matchup. It's definitely going to be an amazing matchup.
Yeah, I think what's interesting there is it's obviously 4-5s are always a ton of fun. But when you add, like, the Mystics are a very, very good team when Ella does.
Right.
I mean, my math here, if I'm looking at the schedule correctly, is 17-7 when she's on the floor.
Like, right.
That is a real, obviously a big swing, but you also look at, like, Seattle brings in Tina Charles. They got two games in Seattle and it's Sue Bird's last run. And it's like, do you really want to have to go to Seattle for those two games? Like, all of a sudden things are really looking kind of back and forth here. In the last couple minutes here, as you look at this, we just talked a lot about the 4-5 matchup. Across the board, what series are you looking the most forward to watching?
So my thing is that 4-5 matchup. That's the matchup, because that matchup could potentially upset the one.
All
that's
right.
The matchup. We've seen the Aces have the Seattle Storm's number in the regular season, but again, it's 0-0 once playoff time hit. And we did see the Aces go 0-3 versus the Mystics in the regular season. So that's what most intrigues me about that particular matchup. I think that the 4-5 is definitely going to dictate what happens in the semifinals. And I just can't wait to see what that looks like. The good thing about the 1-8 matchup is that even if the game goes to three, which I, to be honest with you, I don't know if Aces Mercury goes to a third game. But if it does, all the Aces are traveling to Arizona.
Right.
Same, right. You know, it's in the same region, same time, basically same time zone. So they don't have a lot to worry about from a travel standpoint. But, you know, that the 4-5 matchup is definitely something that I'm looking forward to.
And then it sounds like there's potential upsets all over the board here, because I know, like, Chicago is very good, but you're going to have a hard time picking against New York Liberty. We just talked about 4-5. We mentioned 6-3 could be an upset. Quickly, who do you think wins this whole thing?
For me, I am definitely thinking that the Aces will find a way. They've been in contention for the past 4 or 5 years. They've come up short each time. And I think that this year is their year. They have the veterans, they have the MVP, they have the supporting cast. I do think that they have a chance to pull it off. Now, the biggest concern is, you know, it's playoff time. What is your bench going to look like? That's the biggest question. Are you going to be able to play your 5 starters and one or two other people and not have them get tired out? You know, that's the biggest question that I have. But I think that they are in a mode where they're definitely focused. Becky Hammon has done an amazing job with her adjustments, especially with starting Kia Stokes. That was a huge adjustment, in my opinion. And being that D'Erica Hamby is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks, I'm looking in between the 2.5 week mark. I think they're just doing that as precaution. But she had also been in a slump as well. So getting her confidence back will definitely help out if she's able to come back. And I believe she'll probably be back in time for the potential finals matchup if they do make it that far. So that's who I'm picking. But I'm not sleeping on the defending champs. The defending champs, they know what's at stake. They won the championship at 16-16 last year. They can definitely win the championship at 26-10 this year. So I'm not sleeping on them, but if I were to pick one, I'm going to go with the Aces.
Definitely. And there just seems to be a lot of things coming together. And like Becky Hammond getting them to like open up the offense in a new way and kind of look more like modern basketball has been fascinating. KDOT, you're going to be following this all the way across the playoff scene. Where can people find you and your work at?
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at K.Lou3H. And you can also follow the Women's Basketball Network, the 9450 Women's Basketball Network, on Twitter and Instagram at the 9450 WBB with my partner, Daniel R. Tess. I want to thank you for having me on, and I want to give a shout out to you because you've always been so dope with what you're doing with your platform, and keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Thank you. And thank you for coming on today, KDOT. It's time for the playoffs. Let's go have some fun women's basketball.
Absolutely.
Okay, Parker. So the thesis statement for this commercial is James Harden has the best beard in sports. What do you think about that thesis statement?
Oh, I give it an A. You know, as a Houston guy, we seem to have an affinity for our beards between guys like him, Dallas Keuchel, lots of big beards in the Houston area. What do you think about the thesis?
So I'm a Jets fan, and I absolutely love the beard that Ryan Fitzpatrick has. So maybe I would give Ryan Fitzpatrick the nod over James Harden. But you're talking to a couple of bearded teachers, and we know a thing or two about making sure that you maintain that mane. So check out the Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle, they make oils, they make balms, they even have this heated comb to make sure that you get your beard straight so that you're looking fresh.
I know I've really enjoyed using the oil they make for my quarantine beard of sorts. It's nice and long these days, but it helps keep it nice and healthy and hydrated. And if you're listening to our show, you can use FN Sports 15 and get 15% off your oils, your balms, your shampoos, conditioners, whatever you need to use to keep your beard looking healthy.
Absolutely. Check out The Beard Struggle at thebeardstruggle.com. Whether you're just starting to grow or you have a luscious mane already, The Beard Struggle's got all the products that you need. The Beard Struggle. Feast your face.
All right, friends, do you feel like you have a better understanding of what's about to come in the WNBA playoffs? Make sure you don't miss a moment. Games will be on a variety of ESPN channels and networks, so make sure you have all of those things. And if you need a subscription to ESPN or whatever, all up to date, because it's going to be a really, really fun ride. Shouts to KDOT. Thank you for coming on and getting us prepared. We recorded late Sunday night because we wanted to make sure we got it in after all the games were over. KDOT does not miss a game. I repeat, he does not miss a game. We had to make sure we did it after all the games were over. Go follow him at K.Lew3H. He spells out the word dot, so his handle is at K.Dotlew3H on Twitter. He is big, big, big into all things women's basketball. And when the men's season comes around in the winter, he'll be into that too. If you're a basketball fan, make sure you go follow KDOT on Twitter. Thanks again for coming on. We're going to look, maybe, should we have him back? I think we should, let's try and have him back when we get back to WNBA Finals, and we'll see what happens. He gave us a SparkNotes preview. Maybe we'll have a SparkNotes review and see how much we got right or wrong. If you want to follow this show, you can follow this show on Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, we're at F_N_sports. That's F_N_sports on Instagram. On Twitter, we're at FNSports2. That's FINSBORTS 2, all one word. Twitter is where we're having our big giveaway. We're almost to 10,000 followers. When we hit 10,000 followers, you can win a gift card. Make sure you go check out the Twitter handle to find out how. We'll be giving away gift cards to our various sponsors. You can find all of those in the link tree on both bios on social media. That'll take you to every way to find the show, all of our sponsors, and our merch store. The merch store is to get a different t-shirt, cap, hoodie, or mug, all of which donate to various charitable causes. Make sure to go help out some great causes and support the show the best way possible. If you're looking for me and my personal stuff on social media, my Instagram and Twitter are both at Painsworth512. That's Painsworth 512 on Twitter and Instagram. I post all the things that I am a part of, all the different recordings and writing and things like that. I also post various losses on sneakers. I have a lot more losses than wins on sneakers these days. I talk about my Texas Longhorns, my Houston Rockets, and all those kinds of things. So make sure you go check those kinds of things out. Again, that's at Painsworth512 on Instagram and Twitter. If you're looking to support the show for free, you can give us a 5-star rating, leave us a positive review, download this podcast on a few different platforms, and whatever you do when it comes to sports, don't flunk with us. Later, guys.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Buy 4 tires and get up to $200 in savings after rebate at Bell Tire's year-end sale. Or get even more in Bell Tire gift cards. December 26th through January 7th. Plus, get tires as low as $49 after rebate. Get up to $200 in savings. Or get even more in gift cards. December 26th through January 7th. Get up to $200 in savings and choose the lowest tire price period at Bell Tire. 100 years of getting folks safely back on the road fast and affordably. See store or belltire.com for details. Restrictions apply.